Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting here this beautiful Saturday morning. Wow, a little rain, but it's gorgeous. It's been nice. We've had rain off and on this week, really, thunderstorms, and it's always coming around the same time every day, around 6:30, 7 o'clock, but much needed. God wouldn't give us something that we don't need. And so, welcome that. It was so nice last night. I just opened the windows, let the sound, the windows, and just listen. It was just more, just relaxing. Everything has a purpose. You know, even rain, you know, the sun, the moon, all the elements. So, I hope everybody out there is feeling good. Mothers and daughters around the world. That's what we do on Saturday mornings. We get up and we talk to mothers and daughters around the world. Just want to say hello to our new members for the Mother and Daughter Global Group movement. It is moving. It is moving and moving fast. It's just amazing how one person can tell another person and that person tell another person and things are just moving because it ties into what our topic is today, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Again, good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm your host, and my co-host is Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. So I'm sure they're on here somewhere. I'm not at the switchboard right now, but they are faithful. So faithful are those. Just want to tell you a little bit about what's going on with the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. There are Mother and Daughter Global Movement Group, and hopefully we can get, you know, you would be interested to join. If you're interested in joining, you can go to my Facebook page, Dr. Bessie, and just click on group, and you'll see the Mother and Daughter Global Movement. You know, it is an invitation-only group, and that's not to keep people out as much as to make sure the content is consistent with the mission. So we'll be glad to have you. We want more and more participation from mothers and daughters about what they're doing, how can they help other mothers and daughters, what services you have to offer, what advice you have to offer, your experiences, your testimonies about your mother and daughter relationship, because your testimony is going to be a healing medicine to other mothers and daughters. You may think you are in it by yourself. You may think that nobody's ever gone through what you're going through. You may think that, you know, I'm the only mother that don't know what to do with this teenage daughter. Join the forces of the many mothers and daughters. How perfect you think your daughter is. She's going to challenge you around between 12 and 16. You're going to get some challenges because It's just in her to stretch. It's just in her to be creative. It's just in her to challenge you, because then she has something to compare it to. Some are worse than others, but there will be that challenge because she's growing into her own and she's being able to decide, you know, to herself, you know, hey, I can make decisions now. I'm old enough to make decisions. And that's what happens. When you know you can make a decision, change has come. And when you make the decision, change will come when you know it. But when you make it, change has come. So check us out on our YouTube channel, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, PhD, and follow us on the Instagram, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and follow us on Twitter, Dr. Bessie. All right, that's the announcements for this morning. I thank you, ladies. Just want to say all the ladies that are participating in this mission that God has asked us to participate in, I'm extremely excited because I'm seeing the birth of a baby that was born in 2011 now being able to grow up and become alive. Let me go to the switchboard. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself? Good morning, everybody.
I am good. I cannot complain about a thing. I'm telling you, when you look back and you see what God has done, there's nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about. I looked out last. Let me just get Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning, ladies, and good morning, audience. How's everybody
good morning,
today?
Good morning.
Can someone give us a prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Father God, we come before you as humble as we know how, saying thank you. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we recognize that it is a choice to seek you, to allow your spirit to dwell within us, and to choose to be joyful, to choose to be joyous in what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives, and be thankful. It is a choice every day that we should make, and we do make, rather make it consciously or not. We make the choice to be glad or to be mad. And so, God, we thank you today that we are determined to be glad in you, and we are walking this mission and ministry out as you have placed us. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you for our leader. We thank you, Father God, for those who are coming on to join us in this mission. We thank you, Father God, for each and every one that has signed up, and we pray that their faith will only grow more as they hear the word of our Lord and Savior that come forth through your people. And we thank you, Father God, that we are determined to stick and stay. But Father God, it is not an easy task. It is not an easy walk, but we have chosen, Father God, to walk with you, being that you have called us to do so. And Father God, we have stayed the course. We continue to do what you would have us to do. Always, Father God, give us listening ears to hear what you are saying and to hear where you are taking us. Let us get in the habit of doing only what you tell us to do and saying only what you tell us to say. And that was the awesome example of our Lord and Savior. He all constantly throughout the word tells his disciples and the people, I only say what the Father tells me to say, and I only go where he tells me to go. And so, Father God, help us to be mindful. Help us to be in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, for he was the perfect example of humanity. And so, Father God, with that, I say thank you, Father God, for the phone calls we have and have not received today, with hope and prayer that our loved ones around the world is moving towards you like never before, and let them call on the name of Jesus. But this is the day that you have made, and we have a choice to be glad in it. And so with that, I say amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm just Debbie, got anything you want to add? How was your week? I'm sorry, you were saying something.
No, I was just amen, and let us be glad, you know. And I was reading this morning about being thankful, just a heart of gratitude, you know. I just thank God for another day to do whatever He has placed on our plate, on our agenda.
Amen.
Yeah, I hold on one second. How was your week last week?
My week was productive. My week was good. The start of a new term for the college. It was good, and I'm just learning so much with just because I introduced some new textbooks this year to the college, and just reading through the text and being able to lecture and our weekly discussion with our students. I'm just learning so much. I'm so grateful for what I'm learning, and just thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's just been an amazing learning week. I didn't listen to any sermons this week. I just simply just been in the Word, and it's been a great week.
All right. Deborah, how was yours?
My week was went by really fast. It was good. It was an average week. Nothing major, no concerns, you know. And I'm going to be doing finals, quarantine in, and do finals this weekend, all these loose ends, and we done. And I'm just looking forward to that month break. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Say what? What's going to do? Lay up in that house and look at that house. I'm just going to lay up in here and look at the house. I was, let's see. I'm listening to you guys, but I'm double tasking here. I'm posting to our mother and daughter group, the global group, to ask them to join us this morning. There's some things I need to work out because if I'd asked them to join us and people called in, then I couldn't get. I had to figure out how you guys can get in. We'll have to use you the way that this thing is set up, have you call into a different number, and that way it stays open. If I'd done that up first, I was afraid that it would lock you out if too many people actually, you know, got on. You wouldn't be able to get on. So anyway, I'm learning how to make this thing happen. God is good, and we are on our way. All right, so I sent that in, and hopefully some of the ladies from the group will join us this morning. And I'll do a better marketing job next week. I realize this thing has just grown tremendously. And last week we had such a wonderful, wonderful conversation about rejection. And people still talking about that topic, because that topic touched the heart of so many people. And so today, I just wanted to say last night I woke up in the middle of the night, and as usual, lately I have this thing going on. I'm determined I'm going to look at a sermon, and I start, and then all of a sudden I wake up. A couple hours later, I'm on the chair sleeping, and this thing's been going on now for about a couple of weeks. And I'll wake up about 2 o'clock, and then I go dragging to bed. Well, last night when I was on my way to bed, Lord, I did it again. And my spirit just nudged me to look out the window. And when I look out the window, I saw all these cars, and all the cars were just parked in a long line with the lights off to the very right of the road toward the curb. I really, you know, got nervous because I told my daughter about a dream that I had some time ago, and it often kind of come back up. And so I was like, why are all these people parked like this? What are all those cars doing out there? And it was, I played with that for about 15 or 20 minutes. So it's getting close to about 2:30. And I'm still, like, nervous. And so I text my daughter, and I said, call me. I didn't want to call and wake everybody up. So she called back, she said, what's wrong? And I told her, I said, I don't know. I said, you know, there is usually no traffic. I mean, it's the saddest thing. Parking lots are empty. No traffic. When there would be traffic all over the place, because I'm in the downtown area. So she said to me, well, Mama, why don't you just call 911? And so I guess my son-in-law got up because he wanted to know what was wrong with me. And he said, well, they're supposed to be having a march today about the young man that got killed in the prison here in our city. It happened some months ago, but I guess they was trying to keep it hush-hush, and the video came out. There's always a video. I tell you, there is always a video. So that made a turn on that, and I thought, oh, okay. But I reminded her of the dream. I just don't want to put it back out there in the atmosphere like that, so I'm not saying it. But I called 911, and I asked them exactly what was going on. I said, there are cars just lined up, and as far as you can see, told me, yeah. And when she told me how far they went, it's at least about a 3-mile radius down one road. And she said, they are lined up to get food from the food bank in the morning. And that thing just cut me to the core of my heart. We see it on television. We see it at a distance. But I was up personal with people sleeping in their cars, waiting to go in at 10 o'clock to get some food. And I started praying. I said, God, I just asked you. I said, Jesus, you said if I asked you, and if I asked you anything in your name, that you would do it. I'm asking you to take that food, whatever they have, lift it up to the Father like you did with the bread and the fish. And Father, I'm asking you to multiply it, that everybody gets enough food with plenty left over. So I got up this morning, I'm looking out the window, and cars are pulling up and trucks out there putting out food. In America, where we have plenty of money, we have plenty of food, distribution out to get the foods to the store. See, people can't, they don't have the money. With the food in the store, they don't have the money to go buy the food. It's ridiculous. I don't try to get into political stuff, but I'm telling you, mothers and daughters out there, whoever can hear, I'm telling you, we got to stand and believe. Because it's a different thing when you got it right there in front of your face, when you can feel the energy. You can just open your window and just feel the energy of people in the rain. I mean, it was raining like cats and dogs. You know, that's an old saying. But they were in their cars, just laying in the cars waiting. Now they're pulling up. I think that hurt me just as bad as coronavirus. It's just because when you got babies and you can't feed your babies, shame on the administration that you can't take care of your people when we take care of so many others. So that's my take on it this morning. And I just wanted to put it out there because I had to say that because I know God's going to take care of them. But everybody don't have the faith. Some people don't even believe in Jesus or God. And they're just lost. And we have to stand and we have to pray and believe for the ones that don't know. Because Jesus told us, well, he told God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Put in a certain amount of grace and mercy and forgiveness for those who don't know. But for all of us Christian women who know, we got to stand. Because when I think about it, I have food in my refrigerator. I have a car to drive. I have a very nice place to live. I have my health and strength. I wouldn't want it without everybody wanting it. So, wherever you are, let's see what we can do. That's going to be one of our things, to see what we can do with this Mother and Daughter Global Group And we may not be able to do much, but we can do something. We can do something. Cynthia and Debbie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, that's the take this morning. Now look at the serving piece. All right.
You know, I can definitely. It's okay. I was just thinking, you know, it's interesting and it is disturbing to know that it can be happening right here in America. It's more prevalent now than it has ever been. It can almost be scary.
I don't know what's going on with your sound system, but you're going in and out. You're going in and out.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, Dr. B?
Yes, go ahead.
I was just saying, it is heartbreaking, and it's real. And so, you know, you put it out there because it's real, and it needs to be out there because someone who can do something needs to hear it. And when you don't know, you can't do. And so, by you putting it out there, now somebody who can do something. I pray, that's my prayer this morning, that they would do something. And so it's just interesting. And thank you for bringing it to our attention, because it's happening. And it's more prevalent now than it has ever been.
Yeah. But, you know, we have billions of dollars to send across the country. Oh, you know, Lord, let me just go to, I'm going to go to our topic, because it just, ooh, let me see, Deb, you had anything to say on this topic?
No, I'm just digesting what you said, you know. And
yeah,
I tell you, yeah. So, you know, we're just being prayer about it, because we know who's able.
Yeah, it is definitely. I'm looking out now. Parking lot was full, probably about 400 or 500 cars can park in that parking lot. And I see what the cops are doing now. They're allowing them to come, they're coming out one at a time to get in line. But I came to a peace on it, and I said, God, I already talked to you about it. You got it, and that's all I can do. That's all I can do.
Amen.
It's just, you know, that's all I can do and stand. He's saying, God always tied in. Always tied in. This morning, our topic this morning is mothers and daughters with integrity. And just as we were talking, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about my topic, mothers and daughters with integrity. What about our government with integrity? What about our leaders with integrity? What about our ministers with integrity? What about, you know, Christians with integrity? Not just mothers and daughters. We're talking about integrity. It goes a long way. We all home now. So what are we home for? And what are we doing? Are we building up our integrity? Are we looking at ourselves? Ladies, I'll be right back. I'm going to share what the Lord has placed in my heart, and I'll come back and pick you all up.
Okay. Thank you.
Audience, talking about it, and my spirit just said, you know, integrity starts from the top down. The integrity don't start from the bottom up. Integrity starts with God. And it's supposed to flow down. And you're supposed to get it. He is flowing, but are you getting it? how you get low down. I hear a lot of people say, and sometimes ministers will say, you got to get under a good leadership. And if you're under a good leadership, the blessings flow from me down to you. I'm not saying that's not true, because Lord knows I don't know. But for me, I don't want no man between me flow from God through Jesus and the Holy Ghost Spirit and then me. I don't need nobody in between the three and me. Now, what God said, from my understanding, I will bless you, your children, children's children. So the blessings, if you're under the blessings that's dripping down from God, through Jesus and the Holy Ghost, and then the blessings fall on you, because you got to be in position to get the blessings. You just can't get the blessings out there acting a nut and doing crazy things. You know, you get some grace and mercy, yeah. You get grace and mercy. But the blessing, you under that cup and it's flowing over from the head, it's going to trickle down to those that fall under you, mother, children, father, mother, children, whichever order it is. But he said, I will bless you. So you got to be a righteous person, as righteous as you can be, because you can only be righteous through Christ. So you got to be in order. In my mind, in my own opinion, in my opinion only, that's the problem that we're having, and that's why we're experiencing the experiences of life at this point in our journey. COVID-19 to remind us you out of integrity, you out of order. We send you all home, go to your rooms, get yourself together, and come back and talk to me. I'm the father. I am the parent. I need you to go to your room, clean yourself up, thin your own mind. What are you doing that's keeping you out of integrity? Because God is integrity. So in order to get in line with God, who we claim we're Christians, we got to be in integrity. To be in integrity. You've got to fight temptation. And he said, persecution, temptation, are going to come. But if you are in integrity, it's in your heart, you're going to hold on. You're going to believe what Jesus told you. In spite of what it looks like, that's the challenge, and we all get them. We all get them. And God allowed them. So when people say, oh, God wouldn't do that. When I hear people say that, I say to them, most times I try not, because I don't like to get into debates about what God will and God won't do. It doesn't really matter. I just know what God and I talk about and what God and I do together, and that's all I can control. I know God said, I am the same yesterday. I'm the same today, Bessie, and I'm going to be the same tomorrow. Yesterday, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. He dropped them just like that. I'm the same today as I was yesterday. I'm going to be the same tomorrow. You're trying me? You're out of integrity. I'll drop you. Oh, yeah, he sent Jesus. But does that mean he's not the same as he was yesterday, today, and tomorrow? It cannot, because he cannot lie, and he already said it. He sent us Jesus to give us a hedge of protection. He sent us Jesus so that we would have a gateway to talk to him. He sent us Jesus so we could be righteous, so he can look upon us and he can say, Bessie, how are you doing today? Let me walk with you today. I can see you through Christ, and you look good to me. My spirit can enter into your realm because I can come through Christ, the spotless lamb. But it's only through Christ, through the Holy Ghost Spirit, that you can stay in integrity. Quick to repent. Quick to ask for forgiveness. And get back up. Dust yourself off. And get back on your journey of integrity. Integrity will lead you straight to the Father. Now, what is integrity according to the dictionary? Integrity is the practice of being honest and showing a constant and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values. Sounds nice. But what does that mean? Integrity is a concept of consistency of your actions. Don't be wishy-washy. One day you're here, and the next day you're over there. You know, you're out of integrity because nobody knows what's yes and nobody knows what no when it comes to you. You know, you said, well, she said yes, and then what happened? We thought we could depend on her, and at the last minute, she changed her mind. She's inconsistent. So if she's inconsistent, she's out of integrity because her word cannot be depended upon. Integrity is values. What do you value? What is the thing that you will stand on and you're not going to move every time somebody suggests that you should do this, that, and the other? You don't move because somebody tells you what they think. You don't move. You move when God tells you to move. Your values should be placed in the Word of God. I could tell some stories about some things that happened, and I'm going to tell this as a metaphor. It was someone that, told me not to do it. Anyway, values, methods. You got to have a certain method in which you do things. If your method is not in order, your methodology is changing every 2 seconds. Every time you read a book, it changed. Every time you hear a sermon, it changed. You know, every time somebody send you something on Facebook or Instagram, it changed. God said, if you go to and fro, you get nothing from me. I know books are good. Reading is good. They're good inspirational pieces, but if it's not the Word of God, what are you building your methods on? Measures. How are you measuring things? Are you measuring with a long stick for somebody else and a short stick for you? How are you measuring? Are you balancing that thing off? Are you giving people the benefit of the doubt? Are you looking at a person's eye and seeing a dot in their eye when there's a log in your eye? Come on. How are you measuring? From a friend, and there's certain principles I'm going to do for people who I think is important, who I want to impress.
there's certain principles for somebody I want to impress. What are your principles? There was a song called Rock Steady. You said, how can you rock steady? Unchangeable. Steadfast. Expectations. Integrity. What are you expecting from someone else? What are you expecting from yourself? The integrity. And I've been learning this so much. It's been a strong message you guys have been teaching me for the last few months. Don't worry about what people think. Don't expect for people to love you, Bessie. Don't expect for people to like all people to like you. This is the way he said it. Let me just say it the way he said it. He said, not all people going to love you. Not all people going to like you. Some people are going to hate you, and some people are going to dislike you. That's the way it is. And when you get that, don't expect anything from man, because they will change. They will change their mind depending on what's in their presence at the time. He said, because that's what happened to my son Jesus. Some people loved him and they hated him. The ones that hated him, they hung him. And the reason I sent Jesus, so you would not be hung on a cross. But you got to hang tight to my word. Jesus hung on to my word. He followed it through. Persecutions will come. They're going to lie on you. They're going to contradict you. They may not believe in you or what I asked you to do. And then I had to make a decision. And my decision was, whatever you tell me to do, God, that's what I'm going to do, even if my children don't agree. And I measure things by my children because they're close to my heart. I don't want to do anything that I can't have a relationship with my children. Family. That's who God gave me as my family. But when it comes to me and God, agree, and God told me to do something, our journey has come to its end. As painful as that could be, I would choose God over my children, and I would hope they would choose God over me. Because man has no place to put you. And the outcome. What is the expected outcome? Mothers and daughters that you're looking for, then that you want, or are you aligning your outcome with the visions of God? Because I can tell you right now, your outcome is not the outcome that God has planned for you. And you may say, well, Dr. Bessie, how can you strongly say that? Because he said, my ways are not your ways. You don't know. He already told you don't know what he's going to do. That's why I can say that, because I'm talking about what he said. He said even Jesus don't know when he's coming back. So now if Jesus don't know, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he chooses not to tell Jesus when he's coming back, then you don't know what your outcomes are going to be. You're going to have to do this thing in faith. You're going to have to walk it on out in faith. And you're going to have to get up every day and believe. You know what, God, I don't know what you got for me today. But whatever you got for me today, I thank you. And that's going to be enough for me this day. That's all I need. Because whatever it is, that's all you had planned for me today. I don't want you to give me nothing else but what you have planned for me today. I'm not going to ask you to increase my day. I'm going to take what you got planned for me. Because I know what you got planned for me is sufficient. And I know he said, ask. Yes, you can ask. But what are you asking for? Are you asking for tangible things, which most of us do? Or are you asking for his will to be done? See, that's, you got to know what you're asking for. Your asking has to be aligned with his will, because only his will is going to produce itself in your reality. You can plan all you want, but God's will is going to prevail. God, whatever you have in your will, I want it. Because you can guarantee it's going to be better than anything that you could even imagine. The reason we don't get it is because we're out of integrity. Why are we out of integrity? Because we don't want to follow the word of God. He already told us, my will, not your will. But yet we try to come up and create another will. That's out of integrity. That's saying, you know, God, I don't trust you. And how do you get integrity? You get integrity by the word of God, but you get integrity by studying the fruits of the Spirit. You walking in love, you enjoying peace, joy, peace, you have patience, you're kind, your goodness is good, you're faithful. You're gentle with other people's hearts and their emotions and their feelings, and you have self-control. The hallmark of a Christian. Temptation is all around, but God is our recruiter and our refuge. We can depend on God to be victorious in this life. And when you go to Psalms 25:19-21, it says, see how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. Protect me, my life from them. Rescue my life from them. And do not let me be disgraced. For you, in you I take my refuge, and my integrity and honesty, I ask you to protect that, because I put my hope in you, God. So you can go look in the Bible and just put in there, what does God say about integrity? 1 Corinthians 17. It could go on and on and on. I can quote you a bunch of Bible verses, but I want you to have the integrity to say, let me find out, if I'm in integrity, what did God say? The faithful, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. That's 2 Samuel 22-26. But it's a simple question. You know if you are in integrity or not. Nobody has to say that to you. Because when you do something, and you feel that sadness, and you know you've done wrong, you will know you've done wrong. Don't let your heart be hardened, and don't apologize. Because if you don't apologize, God said, unforgiveness can keep you out of heaven. That's why David was quick to apologize. David was quick to go and repent. Key, how are you going to get into heaven when you know you should apologize for something and you didn't do it? Because your devil told you, oh, you don't have to. But God said you should. You ain't going to slip in and slide in and come through the back door, because then God would be a liar. Unforgiveness, he said, will keep you out. That's simple enough. Like blaspheming the Holy Ghost is never forgiven, not with man, with the word of God. Deborah.
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning, Deborah. Okay. What do you think on the word of integrity? All right. What was your thoughts?
My thoughts, you know, I tell you, God dealing with me, because I was just talking about it last night. One of my classmates, and how you know, it was doing, you know, a project for the school. I was saying that, you know, I had made God a promise that I would do my assignments with integrity, you know, and I was confessing to them that I had you know, seen somebody post some answers on one of the feeds, and I seen the answers, and in my mind I got the answers, and then I take the test, and I had to repent because that was wrong, you know. And just talking about it last night, so when you brought that up, I said, yes, Lord, yes, publicly, I'm going to say it. Yes, yes, Lord, you know, because I'm, you know, like you say, being consistent. And so, you know, this whole thing with the remote and all of that, and, you know, and I got a little lazy with the homework and lazy with being a discipline and all of that, and I had to repent. Because I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have looked at the post. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have looked at the answers. You know, even though I didn't copy them down, but still they went in my head. You know, and so that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so integrity means to me doing what's right when ain't nobody looking. Mm-hmm. And like you say, confess it, and you know God knows what happened. And I was sharing it with the kids last night online, and I confessed, and I said that, you know, I did something that I knew was wrong, and I was making confession, and I was letting them know that, you know, how we got to stay on course, and it's easy to go left, and, you know, and you came right back with it this morning, and I'm sitting here saying, you know, devil told me, you ain't got to talk about that. No, 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 no. Even though I repented of it, and I said it, and you know, yesterday, but I'm saying it publicly that, you know, it's doing what's right and being honest, you know, and it's a thing that you got to make a decision every time. And for 8 years, I've been walking in integrity, you know, and so now I got a little lazy and tired and the mood, and now the homework due, and I just know I shouldn't have did it. And so I'm confessing that I you know, did what I did, and I asked God to forgive me, and I said, help me get back on course, and, you know, and stop whatever I was doing not to be in tune with the books and in tune with what I need to be in tune to. And so, like you say, just repenting, you know, confessing it, and get back on course. Because, you know, it's like all these wheels are now, boom, and you know, and then you one little assignment can turn into two assignments and can turn into a way of doing things. And you made God a promise, and God has been faithful with me to keep me in an honor roll status, you know. And so I just wanted to share that because that hit me right in my gut. And I was just talking about it last night, sharing and confessing to the kids, you know, about, you know, we got to do our own stuff. We can't be, you know. So, I just wanted to share that, but integrity means to me doing what's right when nobody's looking, keeping your word, being honest, being transparent, and, you know, and I just thank you for allowing God to use you to bring that topic up, because I just don't want to be talking about when God is good all the time and saying I'm always on point. No, I missed the mark the last week or so, and I asked God to forgive me and let me get back on course and be studious and disciplined.
Amen. Well, you know, I wasn't there last night, and I got up this morning, and I was saying, okay, God, what are we going to talk about today? You know, I always say Holy Spirit, really. I said, oh, what are we talking about today? And he brought up integrity. But it's so amazing, and I didn't know when I finished talking, he said, call on Deborah first.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he just said. He said, call on Deborah first.
You know, I was ready to be honest about it, you know. And
I said, well, you know, we all, that's why I like to confess, and that's why I like to apologize, and that's why I like to do all that I can do to clean up me, you know, because there's so much junk in our life that we really have to be able to clean ourselves up. Nobody's going to come clean you up because you know what mess you got going on the inside of you. That's why this Mother and Daughter Global Movement is not about coming together seeing how we can fix somebody else's family. This whole thing is about coming together, fix your own family, starting with you, starting with, you know, the person. I got to fix me before I can go and fix Angie and the children. I got to fix me. And so, and then work down to the grandchildren and fix the family and let be led by God. But I just want to say this. That's why God said to Satan, you know, have you ever thought about servant Job? Have you thought about servant Job? Now, that's something for God to go to Satan and tell Satan that, right? Have you thought about my servant Job? And Satan probably said, well, no, I'm trying to get this one over here because he's all over the place. You know what I mean? I got a lot to keep up with. Well, why don't you test him? And I was reading this morning where he says he allowed that because he knew the integrity of Job. He knew Job would not fold. He knew Job would stand because Job had integrity. So that's why he said, you can test him. You can't take his life, but you can test him because God knew he was going to stand. God knew Jesus had integrity. He said, you know, have you tried Jesus? He'll die before he give in. He'll die before he loses integrity to me. I know him. He's not going to do it. And that's what he's looking for us to do. It says, you know, I'd rather go back to God than to lose my integrity. Integrity is something. Hold one second. Cynthia, I'm trying to get you on here. I don't know what this thing doing. What's going on? Let's see. Well, ain't this something? It won't let me click you in, Cynthia. What's going on? Cynthia, can you hang up and call back in? Let me see if I can. Does this not allow me to click you in? I don't know if she can hear me or not. Can you text Cynthia and ask her to hang up and call back in? All right, so let's see now. Let's see if this will work. Man, I'm trying to keep Cynthia off. The devil's a liar. Okay, Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Lord have mercy. All right, we're talking about integrity. What's your take on that this morning?
Well, again, it always line up. We're reading a book, this term called Matters of the Heart. And it is definitely a matter of the heart when it comes to integrity. And the author of the book makes some confessions about how she had been out of integrity with God, being that he had called her to do to serve in the ministry of Christ. And she goes on to talk about how she took what Christ, what God had given her to do, and made it about her. And made it about wanting to be seen and wanting to be liked by people. And it became, she was just out of order, and she at best. And so this morning, the word confession is where we are with regards to integrity. When we know that we have errors and we do not confess before God. And as I was reading the book, a lot of I saw the I in me in the book with regards to that unforgiveness part that you talk about, that you mentioned, and how we think people, even God owes us something, and talk about how, what good works we're doing. Really, if it's that good and God is displeased, how good is it at what it is that you're doing? And so the whole book is talking about, the whole chapter that we read last night is talking about how it all started and how we all start to go left, if you will, and with regards to how did our heart go to this place of darkness, and how easy it is for us to fall when, because of the human nature of it all. And so when we are not cognizant of what it is that we're doing, and when we refuse to see what we're doing, it's so easy to get deeper and deeper into a self as opposed to the spirit man. And then we just simply get lost in the integrity of it all. And so it's hard to get it back once you lose it, because we have it in us, because God, when he made us, he said that he made us good. And but because of the heart in Jeremiah 7:9-10, he talks about how wicked the heart is and who can know it, because it is so desperately wicked. And so it is, we have to always be cognizant of our doings and our actions and our thoughts, because the sin starts in your mind, and then next thing you know, you're into the action of it. And so it is just so important that we are cognizant of what it is that we're doing. And then quickly to repent, as Deborah did this morning. And when we repent, we find that place and we can get back in order and good graces with God. And you know what you're doing. So nobody has to tell you what you're doing. You know what you're doing. But Christ says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know the magnitude of what they're doing when they refuse to walk in integrity. Thank you for allowing me to share.
You're welcome. And they don't know the magnitude of what's going to happen, you know, because they're not seeking God to get the answer. You know, you know when you're doing wrong, because it speaks to your spirit, and your spirit will be troubled. But then it gets to the point where, not like Deborah, I'm not mean to hound on you, but you brought it up, and the same thing with me. But your example this morning was, you could have just fought that feeling and keep fighting, and it will always keep coming back up. You know, it may go a week and you forget about it, then it'll come back up. Then you go a month and forget about it, it'll come back up. You know, that's what we do. That's why I said, Lord, just let me repent on this. Because one thing I've learned, once I realized that once you repent, God said it's a clean slate, he forgets about it, I'm quick to go to him. To say, you know what, I am so sorry, because I want it off of my plate. And once you repent, it leaves your mind. So you're free today, Deborah. And mothers and daughters out there, what I want you to get, we come with you and we are naked with our truth. We are not here trying to puff ourselves up, trying to look good. We are in a spirit and a human body, and we make errors. And it's just the grace of God that we are covered. And so now, Deborah, you can go on your way and have a great day, and God done forgot about it, and then you forget about it and go on. Dust the dust off your feet and move on to the next thing. But when we do realize, we just got to do better.
Amen.
Hold on, ladies. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, this is a great show. Boy, that went by fast. Woo!
Yes,
it did. Thank you. Yeah, and I'm telling you, it seemed like we was on here 3 days ago. This thing is rolling. Oh, my God. Mothers and daughters out there, we thank you. We hope you got blessed from it. Just remember, it's not easy to be in integrity, but it's a must. It's a must, and we got to work on it. So that's all I can say. Any last words, ladies, before we go?
Nope. Have a blessed week, everybody. God bless you.
Amen.
All right.
Have a great week, guys.
Amen.
Bye-bye, audience. Bye, ladies. Love you,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye-bye. Love you, too. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Ladies. All right.